For years, I've been bragging on the team at Allied Outdoor Solutions in Houston for the beautiful work they do to make your outdoor area, your backyard, look like a resort. Well, their business has just grown and grown organically because they do great work. Your walkways, the area around your pool, your outdoor kitchen, all of that. AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com. And now, over the years, it's taken 20 years, they're now in Austin, Dallas, and San Antonio. AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com. 844-846-1010. Call them at 844-846-1010.
I have a buddy named Ray Briers, and he owns a company called The Pipe Yard Inc., INC.com. And if you have a project that needs carbon steel pipe, he stocks everything you need. New surplus, secondary, you name it. Rat hole, mouse hole, conductor casing, pipe pile, sign pole, structural, road bores, dredging. If you're buying or selling, you got an abandoned pipeline, wherever, he'll buy it. ThePipeYardInc.com. 409-788-PIPE. 409-788-PIPE.
It's that time. Lock and load. The Michael Berry Show is on the air.
It's Charlie from Blackberry Smoke. I can feel a good one coming on. It's the Michael Berry Show.
Oh, yes, it is. Yes, it is.
2 6 packs of Shiner, 99 cent butane lighter, Lucky Strikes, and a fifth of Patron. Ice down that igloo cooler, tank of gas at all to do her. I can feel a good one coming on. Throw in Ray Wiley Hubbard, sing along to Redneck Mother. Any blues I had before are gone. Another working week is over, no chance of staying sober. I can feel a good one coming on. Yeah, we
you are out there listening to us. We're honored to be with you on your drive home, or for you third shifters on your drive in. We will pop a top here in just a moment. Don't want to miss that. To our listeners in Lubbock, Texas, KFYO. Just got off the phone with my buddy Chingo Bling earlier. And he's going to be performing there tomorrow night at the Office Grill and Sports Bar on Lankford. Buy your tickets and go watch the show and hang around afterwards and go up and say, hey, I'm a friend of Michael Berry's. Can I get a cap or a shirt or a picture with your hot wife? He has a beautiful wife. May take their kids on. I don't know if they're taking their kids on tour with him or not, but he's in Killeen tonight in Lubbock. Tomorrow night, and since we're in Lubbock, I thought I'd mention that. He's one of my favorite comedians. His name is Chingo Bling. If you don't know him, that's okay. He's a Houston legend. He was a rapper.
Sass.
Yeah, he was a that's his catchphrase. That's his get her done. That's his.
Sass.
He was a rapper for many, many years. And then he turned to making documentaries and then comedy.
Sass.
And he was, like, his politics were George Lopez style politics. And several years ago, he started reaching out to me and asking questions and offering comments. And he said, you know, I feel like I was duped. I feel like everything I was told isn't true. He did a song, a rap album a few years ago called They Can't Deport Us All. And he was very angry that we were being harsh toward illegal aliens. He has really changed his opinion on a lot of things since then. He does a podcast called Red Pill Tamale. He's an incredible talent. Obviously, he's bilingual. He does the show entirely in English. He's got kind of a George Lopez style to his delivery without George Lopez's Obama-loving toe-sucking. He's got a conservative bent to his politics, and I think he's very important. He's very important to the movement because here's a guy who started on the left and moved to the right. And by the way, so did Horowitz, so did P.J. O'Rourke, so did a lot of great thinkers and commentators. And sometimes that can be very useful to understand. Matt Drudge, who then kind of went nuts, Breitbart. There are lots of folks who started on the left and gravitated toward the right, and we need that. Anyway, Chingo Bling weaves a little politics into his comedy as well. But check him out, chingobling.com. Probably be coming to a town near you.
Si, se, Quadway!
And to our listeners on KFYO, go listen to him in Lubbock tomorrow night. Our listeners in Portland on KEX, Albany, New York, WGY, Birmingham, Alabama, WERC. I think we're on in 5 stations now in Alabama. How cool is that? WOAI, the 50,000-watt powerhouse out of San Antonio. Beaumont on KLVI. About to be a Beaumont mention here in just a few minutes in our Papa Top. Well, now I'm going to get in trouble because I don't mention everybody. New Orleans, WRNO. Dallas, KFXR. Pensacola, Florida, Fredericksburg, Los Angeles, KEIB. KEIB just sounds good to say EIB. Makes me think of Rush. A happy birthday to my dear friend Ray Hunt. He's the head of the Houston Police Officers Union here in Houston and an officer's officer and a dear, dear friend of mine. He's the one that first dragged me out to Camp Hope and got me involved helping veterans with PTSD, making a difference, saving lives, and I will forever thank him for that. We got a great show for you today, but it's only great if you call because it's open line. 713-212-5874. 713-212-5874. You can always email me through the website at michaelberryshow.com. And if you missed a show during the week, remember, you can always get it on the podcast. It's free. You can even speed it up if my drawl takes too long. A lot of people tell me they listen on time and a half to get through the shows faster. Or if you missed something, a phone number or a topic, a movie recommendation. We got a great bit for you from PragerU about stop apologizing to the woke mob, and a John Stossel bit I want you to hear on woke colleges versus testing, how it's hurting education. But it's Open Line Friday, and to get us started, as we always do, courtesy of executive producer Chad Okoni-Nakanishi, your Week in Review. You won't believe this, Ramon, but they have canceled, you didn't know they have, the National Toast Buttering Convention. They said it's a super spreader event. Oh, that was a setup! God, that's good!
Baseball pulling this year's All-Star Game out of Georgia.
Anger mounting against the league for moving this summer's All-Star Game out of Atlanta over Georgia's controversial new voting law.
You now have a choice. You can bow down to this cancel culture. If you do, it's never enough.
Sports leagues have become political action committees. They are now pressuring states, withdrawing events.
Canadian police officers who descended upon his church during Holy Week.
Please get out. Get out of this property. Immediately get out.
And don't come back without a warrant. Out, Nazi. Out!
That is exactly how every one of us should respond. It's what the left would do.
Disturbing new images this morning of a 10-year-old boy alone and afraid when he was discovered by a Border Patrol agent in the middle of the Texas desert last Thursday.
These children crossing the border, we know that 19,000 of them are currently unaccompanied in U.S. facilities.
It's horrifying. You see little girls that are 11, 12, 13 years old, that their parents have put them on birth control before they hand them over to the traffickers because the odds are so high that they're going to be sexually assaulted or raped.
Biden administration is now talking about going back and constructing the wall in the parts that were not yet complete.
Wait a second. I thought it was inhumane and racist and horrible and ineffective.
Son of a Fresno man who died after an amateur taco eating competition is now suing the organizer.
The lawsuit claims that the man was not made aware of the risks involved.
What kind of dumbass eats himself to death at an amateur taco eating contest? Have you no shame? Whatever happened to shame? I would be so embarrassed that I wouldn't ever want anybody to know.
Ladies, make yourself useful and grab your fella or girlfriend a beer. Pop a top is right around the corner on the Friday Drive Home edition of The Michael Berry Show.
It's Friday evening, 6 o'clock, and all my friends are twisting off. I'm at the house just turning on TV. Well, they all wonder why I've changed. How many times must I explain? It's basic honky-tonk anatomy. The drinking bone's connected to the party bone. The party bone's connected to the staying out all night long. And she won't think it's funny, and I wind up all alone. The lonely bone's connected to the drinking bone. Hey, 2 plus 2 is always 4, and down is south and up is north, and 32 degrees is freezing cold. You play with fire, you wind up burn. The early bird gets the worm, but the only thing you really need to know.
Before I do the pop-a-top, which as you know we do now, I want to explain my choice of the pop-a-top verse. And in order to do that, I want to explain something at the risk of being tedious, because I think it's important. You know, Rush Limbaugh used to do this, and he's the only guy I've ever known to do this, to really explain how he does the show and why he does things the way he does them. Yes, I know he passed February 17th. It was the first day of Lent for our good Catholic listeners, but it still feels like he's with us. At least it does with me. So many things he says roll around in my head. But so first I want to explain something. When I started in radio in 2005, as with everything else I've ever done, I understood it's a business. But when I started, I ran stations as well as being on a show. And the show hadn't taken off yet because we just started. Well, actually, I was on the radio, and then starting in 2007 for several years, I ran the stations, and I learned a lot about the business of radio. And one of the things I learned is that it doesn't matter how well you entertain. If your show doesn't make money, you're not going to last on the radio. Well, I am a capitalist through and through. I believe that the making of money is a very, very good thing. And I believe that the creation of wealth, that word is used in an economic sense, not in a judgmental sense. You don't have to be a billionaire to have wealth. You have wealth. We all have wealth. It's just how much of it we accumulate, right, in the course of our lives. But I decided that I wanted the business part of my show to be as successful as the entertainment part, and that those would go hand in hand, and that in order to do that, I would have to focus on the business side. The way radio works is you have salesmen who typically work on one floor of a station, and then you have the production side, the on-air, which is the talent and the producers and everything behind it, that are on another floor, and those two don't meet. And so companies will say, you know, I want to sell more cars, roofs, eyeball surgeries, hair replacement, whatever the Coca-Cola, whatever their item is. I hate Coca-Cola. I'm mad at them. But anyway, and so they go to the station and they buy time and it goes on the radio and that's how it works. And I said, you know what? I don't want to do that. I mean, the company still has to make money, but I want to partner with people who share my values. And I want to be able to say to my listeners who trust my judgment with regard to political issues and discussions of economics and discussions of food, even if you disagree, you trust that I'm honest with you, right? I'm not saying you do what I tell you or agree with everything I say. People always want to tell me, you know, I like your show, but I don't agree with everything you say. And if you did, one of us wouldn't be necessary. You shouldn't agree with everything I say. I'm not even sure I agree with everything. I want you to think. I don't care what you think. I just care that you think. And I'm here to remind you that most people are going through the world without thinking. So I wanted to partner with companies that share my values and that would take care of our listeners. And it would be preferable if they would support our veterans in Camp Hope, our veterans with PTSD. It would be preferable if they shared my politics, but not necessary. It'd be preferable if they did business, or it would be required that they do business the way I want them to do, because I'm sending folks to them on my referral. So in each of the markets, there are companies that are show sponsors. I don't speak for a company unless I agree to speak for the company, because it might be an industry I don't really care for, or it might be a product I don't believe in. So I was asked in Beaumont, there's a company that the folks there are listeners, Beaumont Brick and Steel. It's called Beaumont, for those of you around the country. Beaumont is a town very close to where I grew up, and it's about an hour outside of Houston. And so Beaumont Brick and Steel wanted to sponsor the show. And I'd heard their name over the years, and they have a good, very good reputation. But I said, I just need to know some. I need to know some more about them. I want to check their background. They said, well, they want you to know that Mr. McCabe came and had coffee there every morning. And they said that that would be important to you. I called and checked, and it was true. Mr. McCabe was one of my best friends, Craig McCabe, his dad, Horton McCabe. I called him Homie. Homie was like a second dad to me. And he passed a few years ago, and it's still, you know, it's not as bad as losing my dad, but I loved Homie. He was very good to me. I spent a lot of time over at his house. You know, his son and I were dear friends. And Mama Robbie, who was his wife, Robbie, I call him Ho and Ro, Homie and Mama Robbie. I mean, I ate at their dinner table. I mean, we had Bluebell together many, many, many nights, and I'd drive home. I mean, I hung out with them. My family's close to their family. Well, when Beaumont Brick and Steel told me that Homie came by there every morning, that meant a lot to me. And when I checked and that was true, that really meant a lot to me. Because Horton McCabe was a guy that owned a masonry company, but by owning it, he did all the work. And when he got big enough, he hired a couple of guys to help him. And I helped him one summer, and I'm going to tell you something, I don't ever want to do that job again. Out in the heat, lugging very heavy cinder blocks, man, it was the best work I'd ever got, and I wasn't man enough for it. I'll be the first one to tell you, I was a teenage boy, I couldn't keep up with him. Homie had creases across his face. His face was like leather from the sun. He worked like a dog. You have never seen a human being work as hard as he did. And I look at how my dad worked, and I look at how Homie works, and I look at that generation of men and how they worked, and for that matter, that generation of women and how they raised the kids and cooked. Most of them didn't go into the workplace. And it reminded me of the values that make me who I am today. I can't work like that. I might put in long hours, but it's in the air-conditioned office, and it's easy. It's a fun job. It's not fun lugging asphalt cinder blocks and lugging bricks, heavy bricks, and stacking them and placing them and all that dust getting all over you. So, you know, we here at the Michael Berry Show believe that at the end of a long, hard week of work, a grown-ass man or a Libesian woman ought to be able to pop a top on a cold beer. And this week, I do so to men like Homie and my dad, and maybe your dad, or maybe it's you. People that work with their hands, maybe it's you today, maybe it's somebody in your past that we've lost. Maybe you remember them crawled up under the car and you'd come out and say, Dad, can I ask you something? And they'd roll out from under the car to answer your question with grease all over them. Men like that and the values they represent. And if you have someone like that in your life who's still alive, maybe your dad or your grandpa, maybe your husband, maybe your brother, maybe your friend, maybe an employee because you own a business and they're out in the heat making it work while you're in the office handling I want you to call them and say, hey, Michael Berry was talking on a Michael Berry show about guys that work with their hands in the heat and the values of hard work. People like that, that provide for their family. And it made me think of you, and I just wanted you to know I was thinking of you. So here's to Homie and my dad and your dad and men like that. They don't make them like that anymore. Or maybe they do. Maybe it's you.
We here at the Michael Berry Show believe that a grown-ass man or a lesbian woman should be able to pop a cold beer on the drive home on Friday.
Pretty good, drinking beer.
I have a buddy named Ray Breyers, and he owns a company called The Pipe Yard Inc., INC.com. And if you have a project that needs carbon steel pipe, he stocks everything you need. New surplus, secondary, you name it. Rat hole, mouse hole, conductor casing, pipe pile, sign pole, structural, road bores, dredging. If you're buying or selling, you got an abandoned pipeline, wherever, he'll buy it. ThePipeYardInc.com, 409-788-PIPE, 409-788-PIPE. For years, I've been bragging on the team at Allied Outdoor Solutions in Houston for the beautiful work they do to make your outdoor area, your backyard, look like a resort. Well, their business has just grown and grown organically because they do great work. Your walkways, the area around your pool, your outdoor kitchen, all of that. AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com. And now, over the years, it's taken 20 years, they're now in Austin, Dallas, and San Antonio. AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com. 844-846-1010. Call them at 844-846-1010. PragerU does some wonderful, wonderful work. I would encourage you to go and see. They make these little mini movies, little mini documentaries. They're very, very informative. They're fact-based. And I just think they do a great job. I can't say enough about it. If you're inclined, support them financially. A lot of folks, look, if you are a successful business owner, you're going to have to understand it's not enough to watch Fox News all day and listen to talk radio. You're going to have to put your money where your mouth is. You're going to pay the taxes to the government that is their advocacy, and you're going to have to spend money on groups that are changing the minds of the people, or we're going to lose this country, and you're responsible. There's no way around that. You can't just sit back and hope that somebody else is going to do it. If it is to be, it's up to me. Anyway, they do these great little videos, and here's one of them.
Finally, new rule, liberals need a stand your ground law for cancel culture so that when the woke mob comes after you for some ridiculous offense, you'll stand your ground. Stop apologizing. It's insane, and it's growing exponentially, and it's coming to a neighborhood near you. If you think it's just for celebrities, no. In an era where everyone is online, everyone is a public figure. And 62% of Americans say they have opinions they're afraid to share. 80% of Americans, young, old, rich, poor, conservative, liberal, white, minority, all hate the current atmosphere of hypersensitivity. Yeah, everybody hates it, and no one stands up to it.
This is the cancel culture that now pervades America. Yet, people on the left, the very people responsible for it, claim it doesn't exist. Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez mocks those who fear its growing influence. Odds are you're not actually canceled, she tweeted. You're just being challenged, held accountable, or unliked. The representatives claim that this is merely accountability culture is common on the left. Don't believe it. Accountability means a duty to explain. Accountability involves confronting a person with their actions in a way that allows them to explain themselves or ask for forgiveness and otherwise continue the dialogue. The purpose of cancellation is very different. It seeks to bring all conversation to an end, to strike fear in the public so that no one else dares to speak up. That is cancellation, and it extends far beyond criticism. Cancellation involves social media mobs engaged in public shaming and the creation of blacklists. It seeks the destruction of the career and reputation of anyone who differs with the leftist position. The bullies, says social critic Douglas Murray, want to stop the rest of us talking or thinking. Virtually no one is immune. Not Kevin Hart, not J.K. Rowling, not Woodrow Wilson, not Drew Brees, not the famous or the unknown, not the living or the dead. So many have been burned at the social media stake. One has to wonder if the mob is going to run out of victims. But this fire will not burn itself out. We have to stop it. How? First, if you ever find yourself in the cancel culture crosshairs, don't apologize to the mob. Apologize when you've done something wrong, not when you've exercised a constitutional right. And furthermore, your apology won't save you. It merely hands the bullies another victory. Stand firm. The storm will pass. The mob always moves on. Second, find allies among reasonable people, not necessarily people who vote the way you do or agree with you on every issue, just people who still believe in free speech and are committed to open dialogue. Third, the rest of us must only support institutions and businesses that value free expression. Money talks. Which is why cancel culture is such a potent weapon. People and even big businesses are terrified of losing their incomes. Finally, defend targets of the mob, wherever they fall on the political spectrum. This is a free speech issue. It should unite liberals and conservatives against the left. The very soul of our republic depends on an open exchange of ideas. We must take on and defeat a cancel culture that would hold a free people hostage in their own society. I'm Paris Denard for Prager University.
What we witnessed the last week over the Major League Baseball move of the All-Star Game out of Atlanta to Denver, Colorado, is we witnessed sports leagues and corporations declaring that Georgia's election law is a Jim Crow era law, that it is trying to keep black people from voting. And to their credit, there have been some prominent blacks in this country, including Candace Owens, including Zuby, who's actually English. He's he lives in London. He's a rapper, and he offers conservative commentary all day long. I'm going to have him on the show soon. He's fantastic. There are other prominent black thinkers and speakers who said, wait a second. You're claiming racism again. You got to stop this. Everything can't be racist. And by the way, how is it that black people can't get IDs, but everybody else can? How come when you say you have to have an ID to vote, what makes you say with a straight face that black people don't have IDs? That's ridiculous. How do black people get a welfare check? How do black people get on an airplane? How do black people do all the things that require? How do they get their Social Security? How do they get admission to all sorts? I mean, you got to have an ID. You don't have to have a driver's license, but you have to have an ID to do so many things. Are you telling me that black people are just out there not doing any of those other things? Well, of course not. I'm tired of the patronizing way that white liberal Democrats claim that black people are stupid, as if they don't know how to vote. They don't know how to get an ID. It's time for black people to say, stop talking to me like I'm stupid and stop telling everybody I'm stupid so that you can aggregate more power. It's like they have this attitude that, you know, we have to teach the poor black people how to vote.
Voting is hard. From the long Byzantine single-file line to the alien complexity of the voting machine. Just think about those two buttons and that big dial with the finger pad. It goes clockwise and counterclockwise. Yes, voting is hard for anyone. Now imagine you are black. After navigating the confounding labyrinth of a line, you step into the mysterious booth, and before you is a futuristic world of confusion. No more. Today is National Teach a Black Person How to Vote Day. If you are white or even Asian, it is your noble duty today to find a black person of any shade and teach them how to vote. Guide them step by step through the rigorous process of casting a ballot. Black people have the right to vote. It's time to teach them how.
National Teach a Black Person How to Vote Day is presented by the Democratic Party. Google Democrats USA for more information. If you're black, find a white person to help you with the technology.
Celebrating the grown-ass working man and lesbian woman. More Friday Drive Home on The Michael Berry Show.
Such a sobering feeling when they finally had enough and they're like, all right, guys, y'all got to leave. And they turn on all the lights and open. You're like, oh, did we have to go to do that? Let me explain that last segment because I know a number of you are upset because I see your emails coming in. You don't want government setting the price for things. I know it seems like you do, because it seems like you can never buy as much as you want. And if only we could make the government set prices, then everything would go well. You don't want to say it like that because it sounds bad, but that's what you want. A lot of folks think they want less government, but they love government. They want government to be their protector. The market works. That doesn't mean you always win in the market, but the market works. Let me explain. Let's take the case of a lumber shortage. A person who says they shouldn't be able to increase the cost of lumber, the price of lumber. Sorry, they shouldn't be able to increase the price of lumber. Well, here's what's going to happen. This is like rent controls in New York. And there have been a lot of studies done on rent control. You know, the pharaohs instituted rent controls in Egypt, and they didn't work then either. We've had rent controls throughout history, and they don't work. Let me start with rent controls. So in New York, they cap the rent you can charge on rent-controlled units, which is over 50% of the units in New York. At times, it's been even higher. So you have people who live in L.A., but they have an apartment in New York that's rent-controlled. So they may pay $400 for a flat in New York, but they live in L.A., and that flat would go for $3,000 on the open market. Once you get that unit, you don't give it up. Ed Koch was mayor of New York for over a decade, and he still kept an unused rent-controlled apartment. Charlie Rangel, a congressman in New York, keeps four rent-controlled apartments, artificially low rent, because he can afford to. So what they found is that the national average of single occupant apartments in America is, I think, 27%, if I remember the number correctly. In New York, it's something like 70%. Why? Because if rent is so cheap, you don't have to take in a roommate. And you say, well, that's great, Michael. Yes, it would seem to be so. But again, these are the inefficiencies of artificial price suppression. Because a lot of people don't even live in that apartment. They keep it as a secondary apartment. So you can't find housing in New York. That creates a scarcity. We started with a shortage. Remember, a shortage is insufficient supply relative to the demand at that price. You cannot leave the price factor out of these decisions. Because the apartments are artificially suppressed in price, they can't drive the price up, which would mean more people would be able to move in because you take on roommates. So people have to live outside the city. That's one thing. It's very hard if you're trying to enter the market as a tenant. You can't find housing. It creates a scarcity. There is no housing available. Nobody wants to give up their apartment because it's rent controlled. And if it fell into the market rate, it would go up to thousands of dollars. Well, that person is now squatting on a cheap unit that other people would be willing to pay more for, but you simply can't find it. But it has another effect. New York saw, from the time they instituted price controls, they saw something like 1/25 the number of new housing unit starts that the average major city in America did. If I can't make any money off the apartments I build because you artificially suppress the price, then I simply won't build them. Imagine if car makers, we could say General Motors has to sell all of their cars for $2,000 because I'm tired of not being able to afford a new car. Okay, then. They'll sell them for $2,000. How many cars do you think they'll make? Is that a good thing? You won't be able to find cars because they won't make them. There's no incentive if they can't make money. So let's take lumber. Let's take Marty's lumber. And look, I'm sympathetic to his case. This guy's just trying to deliver a home for for his customers. There's nothing wrong with that. I just want you to understand that this is contrary to our economic principles that have made us the greatest economy in the world. These principles are law. They are economic. They are laws of science, not man-made laws. They are laws of science. They work again and again and again. That doesn't mean you don't have winners and losers in the marketplace. Of course you do. Of course you do. Otherwise, we'd all be able to afford a Rolls Royce. We'd all be able to afford a Bentley. But there wouldn't be any because the price would be so low that there would be so few of them. There would be true scarcity. There's not enough of them. It's all a question of what the demand is relative to the supply at that price. So let's go back to wood, lumber. Old boy needs lumber to build houses. Understandable. He's locked into a house. Let's say these people have paid him a contract for $500,000 to build the house. Well, now, whereas he had budgeted $200,000 for lumber, now it's going to cost him $400,000 for lumber. That means not only is he not going to make a profit, he's going to lose money if he delivers on this contract. So what happened? The price of an input changed. He's got to change his contracts to where it reflects that there could be an input cost. Concrete could go up. Flooring could go up. Roofing materials could go up. Lumber could go up. Well, it's too late now. Right. But this is how the market forces you to be more sophisticated in the future. There are going to be winners and losers in the short term. The winner is the home buyer because they're getting a house cheaper than the next round of houses that'll have to be bought with the expensive wood. But if we artificially suppress the lumber cost, what does the lumber distributor do? Because the people selling the lumber now need to charge more for the lumber because there's less of it. What does the lumber distributor do? Well, he can't buy lumber. If he can't pass the price on, then he doesn't buy it. So now we've gone from really expensive lumber to no lumber, which is what you see in communist countries. There is no production. Why would you produce? You can't make money off of it. Adam Smith said the baker, the butcher, the cobbler, they don't cobble, bake, and cut meat because they're nice guys. They do it out of greed. Not an awful greed, but greed, for lack of a better word, is good.
It's that time. Lock and load. The Michael Vary Show is on the air.
It's Charlie from Blackberry Smoke. I can feel a good one coming on. It's the Michael Berry Show.
Two six-packs of Shiner, 99-cent butane lighter, Lucky Strikes and a fifth of Patron. Ice down that igloo cooler, tank of gas at all the doer. I can feel a good one coming on. Throw in Ray Wiley.
Alicia, you're on the Michael Berry Show.
I wanted to follow up, I guess, last week when I talked to you on air, and then ask you a new question as well.
Okay.
I asked you last week about where you would draw the line, and I asked you specifically about the, well, in regards to the vaccine passport. You, I think, gave me a cop-out answer, but I think I got it. I understand the other side of it.
I gave you a cop-out answer?
I think you did.
What do you think my answer was?
Well, you said to me, short answer is, I don't know. I'm taking it day by day.
And right? What was the question?
The question is, where will you draw the line? And I was talking about specifically the vaccine passports and not flying. Making the decision, well, if they're going to require an example with flying, let's say, and saying, I don't agree with that, so I'm going to make the decision
I fly? The question was, I don't think that's a cop-out answer at all. I think that's the hardest thing to do is to say, I don't know.
so what I get where you're coming from, I think, too. But the what it made me think of was when I sent you a message, it reminded me of Abbott. Interesting that he did come out. I don't know about really what his executive order will mean, but on the vaccine passport, but kind of wait and see. And can I make it work for me? But my next question to you is, now you've been calling more so, you and Jesse Kelly and Ben Shapiro, about, you know, taking action or boycotting or pushing back. So, like, specifically in regards to the airlines, if I'm not mistaken, all the major airlines now are supposed to not use any of them, right? Now they've all come out in different ways or said things that United, Delta, American Airlines, Southwest, about the voting, and then United about the ridiculous how they're going to employ their pilots, supposedly. So, I mean, where to go from there? I get it, and I have no problem making a stand, or I don't have any problem choosing what's I think I agree with or not agree with, but I don't see that going so far. And like with the MLB, who buys those suite? I guess I don't know. Who buys the suite tickets? Who's really putting the money in there? I think it's a lot of it's the big companies that buy those suites. Yeah. And I don't see them changing. I don't see that really making a difference. It's like a futile effort, like a pointless effort that calling individuals, oh, don't buy tickets anymore. I don't see that going so far.
Let me try to unpack your question, because there's several questions within the question. With regard to your question last week and whether I would fly, the answer is I don't know, because I haven't had to confront it. And so it's purely hypothetical. It's very easy to say, no, I won't fly if I have to wear a mask. That's an easy, you know, beat your chest sort of answer. But if I'm going to give you a thoughtful answer, which I think you deserve, the answer is I would have to think about it. But the bigger question is, what do we do? Let me first say, before we figure out what we do, we have to understand the problems we're confronting did not arise yesterday. If the Chinese amass an army on our southern border and we have to repel that army, you can see an immediate course of action. It's pretty simple what you have to do. We didn't arrive where we are overnight, and the extent to which this problem has insidiously insinuated itself into every crevice of American life first has to be understood. You have to grasp the scale of the problem. It is ubiquitous. It is in every corner of American life. To the extent that it is in corners of American life where people are a part of the problem and they think they're looking for the solution. They think they are opposed to this. I saw a video of a woman walking through a grocery store. She had her baby in a, what do you call a pram? I'm not English. I just never used the word. What? Stroller. She's pushing her baby in a stroller, and she's leaning out in front of her baby as she pushes it and spraying Lysol as she pushes the child through the store. I don't know how that woman votes, but I can tell you that that mindset is what's wrong. That is an individual who, if she didn't have television news, that is an individual who would not be doing that. But she is so obsessed with being a part of what's coming out of the boob tube. She is a participant in this. She is reacting to what they are telling her every day, that she is caught up in that moment. She's masked. The baby's masked. They're all masked up. She's spraying Lysol in front of them, which is great for Johnson & Johnson or Procter & Gamble, whoever makes that product. It's fantastic for them. Why is it that corporations who are trying to sell tickets on an airline would take a position, taking any political position outside of bailouts for airlines, regulation of airlines, any position necessarily reduces your fan base. So there's no good reason to do it. Shell America decided 15 years ago that they would no longer contribute to political candidates. They would no longer participate as a corporation in American politics because they didn't want to have to pick a side. The airlines could take that position, whether officially or de facto, but they haven't. They have made the decision to enter the fray and say that Georgia's election laws are Jim Crow racism slavery. They're less restrictive than Colorado. They're less restrictive than Delaware, where Joe Biden is from. But the deep question you have to ask yourself is, why did they do that? They did that because all the corporate elite now share one conformist mentality. They're not the resistance. They are now the establishment. The counterculture of the late 60s is now running the country. They have the government, the universities, the corporations, which is very powerful, the media, the major city governments. That level of, we're the outsiders now. So you have to start from that place.
This is...
I'll be damned. Mm-hmm. See what I'm saying, dude? And hey, wait a minute. Let me take a breath.
The Michael Berry Show.
For years, I've been bragging on the team at Allied Outdoor Solutions in Houston for the beautiful work they do to make your outdoor area, your backyard, look like a resort. Well, their business has just grown and grown organically because they do great work. Your walkways, the area around your pool, your outdoor kitchen, all of that. AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com. And now, over the years, it's taken 20 years, they're now in Austin, Dallas, and San Antonio. AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com, 844-846-1010. Call them at 844-846-1010. I have a buddy named Ray Briers, and he owns a company called The Pipe Yard, Inc., INC.com. And if you have a project that needs carbon steel pipe, he stocks everything you need. New surplus, secondary, you name it, rat hole, mouse hole, conductor casing, pipe pile, sign pole, structural, road bores, dredging. If you're buying or selling, you got an abandoned pipeline, wherever, he'll buy it. ThePipeYardInc.com, 409-788-PIPE, 409-788-PIPE. So Ramon's going out of town this weekend, and you will never believe where he wants to go.
Well, I should first tell you his boys are, how old are they now? 3 and 5. So his boys, July Augustus and Oliver McCray, if you're a fan of Lonesome Dove, you'll know that's where he named, where the names come from. So anyway, they're going to be in Dallas, and I'm not going to say his boys want to go to Medieval Times because his boys wouldn't know what Medieval Times is unless you told the kids. So it's one of those things that once you tell them, you got to take them. But they're pretty exciting. I mean, they're pretty excited. I don't know if you've ever been to Medieval Times, but apparently it's exactly what the name sounds like. But it reminds me of one of my favorite comedy bits by Wyatt Cenac about, as an adult, going to Medieval Times.
I have a friend who recently turned 30 years old. No, he had other options, but that's the one he went with. But for his 30th birthday, he wanted to celebrate. He wanted to do something big. So we're like, all right, what do you want to do? You want to go skydiving? You want to go to a strip club? You want to get a big steak dinner? What do you want to do? He was like, I want to go to Medieval Times. Here is Medieval Times for those of you who have never been. You show up to this place and it's a castle, typically in a place that doesn't need a castle. Like, at no point in time has anybody ever needed to attack or defend Lyndhurst, New Jersey. Mm-mm. But you show up to this castle, and there's a lady out front in a wench outfit, and she's like, welcome to Medieval Times. Are you ready to step back into the Middle Ages? Yes, if that's what we're doing, point me in the direction of a witch. I want to burn it. Because that's medieval times to me. That's medieval times, not, would you like more grog or diet grog with your garlic bread? Mm-mm, that's not medieval times. That's false advertising. That's the same problem I have with Build-A-Bear Workshop. Yeah, I really want to build a bear. But medieval times, I can't burn a witch. Nobody's getting the bubonic plague. Knights just fighting to the shift break, then hanging out afterwards. I can't pee wherever I want to. No, I just have to sit there wearing a paper crown at a 30-year-old's birthday party next to a bunch of 11-year-olds at 11-year-old birthday parties. And they're all looking at me and my friends like some stark vision of their future.
So I went down and visited my dear friend Steve Moore yesterday. He runs all the spec stores. There's like 200 of them. I said, what's the hottest new product? Look at me, Ramon, I'm talking to you. What's the hottest new product out there on the market that did not exist? And he said, flavored whiskeys. I said, okay. Like what? I said, you talking about lemon Jack Daniels? He said, no. The hottest subcategory right now, it started at zero and it's shooting up. Peanut butter bourbon. No. Whoa. Don't make that face. You don't know. I haven't tried it. Don't make that face. You're thinking it, you don't like peanut butter? I love peanut butter. I've never found anything that peanut butter doesn't make better. See, if you loved Elvis, you'd love peanut butter. You can't love Elvis and not love peanut butter. That's just how it is. And bananas. Peanut butter makes everything better. So I said, well, Steve, I'm not gonna lie to you. That's an odd combination of flavors. Peanut butter, bourbon. He said, yeah, that's what I thought. He said, truth is, I can't taste the peanut butter in it. But people with a better palate than mine swear to me you can taste the peanut butter. Man, I'm going to try it. Of course I'm going to try it. I'm just, he's more of a Scotch guy than a bourbon guy anyway. So he's, you know, you're starting to get into a whole different flavor profile that's far away from what he likes, the oaky, wood, smoky flavors. And you're getting in, according to him, the peanut butter gives it more of a sweet edge. But, oh, so I said, tell me this. What is your biggest challenge right now running specs? Because alcohol sales are through the roof. He said, challenge is getting products because, you know, there were shutdowns and all that. But we're fine. We're doing that just fine. So my biggest challenge right now is cardboard boxes. I said, why is that? He said, you can't get cardboard. And, you know, by the way, I read this week that the cost of home construction has increased on average 24% across the country because of lumber. Lumber costs are through the roof. I'm going to call Macaulay's Lumber and get Kurt Macaulay, K-U-R-T, on the line. M-C-C-A-U-L-E-Y. I want to ask him about what the lumber prices, how much they've increased. But anyway, so he said, you can't get cardboard. Now, listen to this, Ramon. This is interesting. And I said, well, why is that? And he said, well, do you know what they use to make cardboard? I actually have no idea. He said, they use scrap paper and grocery bags. And he said, nobody's gone to the grocery store and offices have been closed. So people, they buy as a commodity. They buy the paper that you throw in the trash. Major corporations that generate a lot of paper, the cardboard manufacturers buy that and use it to construct cardboard. Well, there's not been any of that. So we start talking, and an interesting dilemma. Think about this. There's a shortage of grocery bags. Because the products that are necessary to make grocery bags, the paper. So the question is paper or plastic, right? Places like Austin have said, no plastic. We don't want plastic in our city. Okay. No, I want Kurt. And So they've banned plastic bags in, you know, Portland and Austin and these sorts of places. So you go to the grocery store, and they don't have paper bags. Now, the Whole Foods isn't all years ago started this little thing. Liberals love to feel like they're doing something great while they're taking a poop. I'm taking a very organic poop. I'm just taking a poop over here. Well, I'm saving the earth as I poop. Everything they do has to be that, you know, because they don't have enough. They don't have enough going on. We're not at war. I mean, not on the home front anyway. That, you know, they need something to really throw themselves into, right? A Great Depression. That's why the pandemic was so exciting for people. Producer Kenny had a good point this morning. He said, you know, some people are enjoying this pandemic so much that they don't want it to end, and they won't let it end. They're the people that run around screeching, they're not wearing a mask, they're not wearing a mask, they're not wearing a mask. That's these people. That's the woman that runs our building. I mean, that's who these people are. There are people for whom being in the middle of a pandemic makes them feel like their life has meaning. So they'll never let it go. So you got places that have banned plastic bags as if they're saving the earth, but they're banning the plastic bags. But now you can't get paper bags. So if you go into the grocery store, they're going to have a challenge. What do? You don't allow plastic bags. You only allow paper bags, but there's a shortage. There's actually scarcity. Shortage means that there's not enough of the good or service at that price. Scarcity means there is objectively not enough of the product at any price. There's an actual scarcity of paper bags. So what do? Well, you can go cut down more trees. Is that what they want? Because the left doesn't want trees to be cut down. If you don't have plastic because you're against plastic, then the alternative is paper. And paper is made from trees. If people understood, I look around my studio right here. I look at my phone. I look at my readers. I look at the mouse for my computer. I look at my fan. I look at my stapler. All of these are the byproduct of petroleum. All of the phone we use, the pencil, the buttons, all of these are byproducts. They're either trees that were cut down or the byproducts of petroleum, fossil fuels. Our whole life is a fossil fuel byproduct, and they have no idea. None. All right, hang tight. We'll get to you. 713-212-5874.
You're listening to...
I'm taking a very organic poop. I'm just taking a poop over here. Well, I'm saving the earth.
The Michael Berry Show.
Should probably do a deeper dive on, because I know a few of their songs, and the few I know I really like. Do you really like a few songs from, or no? What do you mean? You didn't like them because John Popper was fat? That's so weird. It is shallow. Like the song Hook? That's a deep song. You know who does a great version of Hook? Chance McClain. If you hear Chance McClain sing the song Hook, it is, he makes it so much darker than it is. Well, he's dark already. But, I mean, you really hear the words. He sings, he, like, internalizes words. But, I mean, listen to the words. It doesn't matter what I say, so long as I sing with inflection.
It doesn't matter what I say, as long as I sing with inflection.
That's deep, right?
It makes you feel like I'm spinning a truth of that reflection. But I've seen nothing so far.
I can keep it up as long as it takes.
I can keep it up as long as it takes. And it don't matter who you are. If I'm doing my job, it's yours all that breaks. Because
the hook brings you back. No matter what I say, as long as I sing it with inflection. You think about that. How many people know what Kurt Cobain was saying? But the hook brings you back. It's music criticism as part of a song that sounds good to the ear. That's not a lot of people could pull that off. I submit Chance sings it better than they do, and I think Blues Traveler is one of the greatest vocal sound because it cuts through. Oh, it's a great for that era. It's everybody else has kind of the same angst-ridden white boy garage band sound. I mean, honestly, Foo Fighters, Smash Mouth, they all sound, I mean, they all have the same voice. But Blues Traveler cuts through. But I will tell you, I'm not going to try. You give Chance McClain a guitar and let him sing this, you'd think he wrote it. Chance McClain and have him sing it? You're going to force me to say something bad, and I don't want to do that. Sometimes he sings too loud. I know. It's crazy. It's Blues Traveler's same way. I feel like the guy's screaming. You're laughing. Here's the thing. You know I love Chance McClain. He is one of the people. Not only do I adore him as my friend, but I deeply admire his creative talent. Tell me somebody who you think is a Renaissance man of great talent, creative talent. Give me an example. Like, let's leave politics out of it. Tom Hanks would be one of those people, right? Tom Hanks would definitely. Justin Timberlake. You don't have to like the guy. He's a scratch golfer. He's a fantastic actor. He's a songwriter. And, oh, by the way, he has the best pipes of his generation. The guy is a Renaissance man, five-tool player, right? And so, but people know how much talent he has. Like, we were this close, for listeners at home, that's one inch. We were this close to not knowing the name Chris Stapleton. Chris Stapleton doesn't sing any better than he did when he had a band. He doesn't sing any better at all. He doesn't sing any differently. You just know about it. He would have been just as great if Tennessee Whiskey never broke, if he never won the award that launched him. He would still be just as great a singer. And if I heard him at the Mucky Duck or Main Street Crossing, I would be telling you, I heard this guy, and I'm going to tell you something. Wow, can he sing? And you go, yeah, all right, whatever. But he's validated by the popular success. Well, Chance is one of these guys that if he ever got picked up, I mean, honestly, how many straight guys do you know that have written two Broadway musicals? Not one, but two. Okay. How many people do you know who have written and recorded over 300 songs? I don't mean, I'm gonna write a song, that's going to be a heavy metal version of Santa Claus is Coming. No. He sat down and did all the work it takes. I'm not saying all of it's great, but a lot of it's really interesting stuff. And he actually sat down, recorded it. He does all the he's like Jeffrey Lynn of ELO. He does all the voices, all the instruments. Okay, that's number two. We're talking. This is the case for Chance McClain as a Renaissance man. He plays a didgeridoo. How many people do you know that can actually carry a tune? How many people do you know that own one, much less that have mastered it? Okay, he plays piano. He plays the guitar. He's written songs, he's recorded songs. He does sing too loud. There's no doubt about that. What else has he done? He was the program director for 610, Sports Radio 610, right? He got into radio and just, oh, by the way, did that. He's a veteran. I mean, there's a lot going on there. No, don't call him. He'll sing too, the modulation will be too high and it'll bust our ears. But the dude's wicked talented.
Facebook. Like The Michael Berry Show.
I want to drink a Dr. Pepper, eat a bowl of Bluebell, take a shot of Tito's vodka, drink some crazy water bottled in mineral wells. I want to eat a Whataburger, I'm a Shiner Bock man. I want to roll and smoke a J with McConaughey in the back of Willie Nelson's van. I've been to New York City, Sin City as well. I've seen the Grand Canyon and the Liberty Bell. I've walked the streets of Hollywood at sunset and Vine. Spent some time in Napa Valley drinking good old American wine. From sea to shining sea, I've seen all there is to see. But there's only one place for me. Pepper, eat a bowl of Bluebell, take a shot of Tito's vodka, drink some crazy water bottled in mineral wells. I wanna eat a Whataburger, I'm a Shiner Bock man. I wanna roll and smoke a J with McConaughey in the back of Willie Nelson's van. St. Louis got the ribs and hot damn, are they delicious. If the whiskey's up in Tennessee, the chowder's up the Chesapeake. Murdered in and out burger animal style. I smile while sipping Moxie, but admit it's been a while. Alabama mint julep, Tampa pimento cheese, bread pudding with bourbon sauce from Bourbon Street. Read a bowl of Bluebell, take a shot of Tito's vodka, drink some crazy water bottled in mineral wells. I wanna eat a Whataburger, I'm a Shiner Bock man. I wanna roll and smoke a chain with McConaughey in the back of Willie Nelson's van. I wanna drink a Dr. Pepper, eat a bowl of Bluebell, take a shot of Tito's vodka, drink some crazy water.
If Dr. Pepper had 10 cents worth of wisdom, they would contact him and buy the rights to that song. I'm still a little bit mad at Tillman for not using Take Me Lake Charles by Shiny Ribs, but I can't be mad at Tillman for very long because I admire so many things about him that, well, I just can't be mad at him very long. It's like you can't be mad at Mac. I can't think of a time I've ever wanted to be mad at Mac, though. I bet if we, you know what? I'm going to get a chance to write a song for Gallery Furniture. There, why did we not do this before? What? Jim, proceed.
Yeah, your the Dave Parker interview, I really enjoyed that yesterday. And in that same kind of same vein, I wanted to recommend another ball player who I heard interviewed a few months ago, Ron Guidry. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you remember
him.
Yeah,
good Kunas.
Oh, yeah. And anyway, he was interviewed about, I guess, one of his former teammates, Bucky Dent, interviewed him about what it was like playing at the Bronx Zoo. And he has this thick Cajun accent.
Oh, and Guidry's great. Louisiana Lightning.
Yeah. He is, you know, he's so funny. I mean, he could just read the phone book and you'd want to laugh because he sounds like Justin Wilson. But the stories are epic. I mean, he played.
What do you know about Justin Wilson?
Huh?
I said, what do you know about Justin Wilson?
Well, I'm basically, my roots are in Louisiana, South Louisiana. So,
well, you may not know this. I don't know how long you've listened to the show, but probably 10 years ago, I decided that I was going to introduce Justin Wilson to a whole new generation of listeners. And it was my tribute to the greats, Jerry Clower, Justin Wilson, Paul Harvey. And I played a clip of his maybe once a week for several weeks. And it never got any traction. And the problem is, Justin Wilson, I did some of his stand-up, and I found that what got a better response was just playing a clip of his cooking show. Mm-hmm. And he's unintentionally hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? He's like, who was that woman, Ramon? Like, she is the ultimate cookie, French cooking. It was, she introduced Julia Childs. Like, you can't help but laugh when you hear it. I mean, adorable.
Right.
You can't help but laugh. Anyway, I tried some Justin Wilson comedy, and it just never – it didn't work. But I love Justin Wilson. Anyway, I'm sorry. You mentioned Ron Guidry, the Gator, sounding like Justin Wilson, and I agree.
Well, yeah, he's just got that thick accent. Like I said, he's, you know, you just want to laugh when he tells these stories, but they're, I mean, he's not trying to be a comic. He's just basically saying what it was like to play for like Billy Martin and under George Steinbrenner and Yogi Berra. I wasn't a Yankees fan by any stretch, but I was a Ron Guidry fan because when I was 18, I worked with his dad at the railroad.
Oh, wow. You know, Guidry's one of those guys like Pete Maravich, Bobby Hebert, Ed Orgeron, for that matter. What was the punter's name that went to prison? Billy Cannon? What was his name? What was the guy's name? He was and I'm thinking of Russell Erksleben. What was it? Was it Billy Cannon that was the LSU legend? There's just certain people that everybody from Louisiana has to be proud of. It's like Chuck Norris or Willie Nelson.
You know, Rusty Staub is another one.
Rusty Staub. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I got the picture of Rusty Staub that hung in the locker room when he played for the Astros. I bought it when they sold out the merch at the deal. Do you have a contact with Ron Guidry? I'd love to talk to him.
I sure wish I did. I mean,
you know where he went to college?
He went to Southwest Louisiana.
That's correct.
He's a raging Cajun.
You know who else went there?
No.
Luke Mandola, that owns the Raging Cajun.
Oh, okay. All right. I didn't realize that. Oh, I love Raging Cajun.
We should go to the Raging Cajun.
I remember Ray Hayes' Poor Boys.
We should go to the Raging Cajun on, what is that, Richmond. The tracks.
By the railroad tracks. It used to be Ray Hayes' Poor Boy, and then they changed to Raging Cajun. Like, I grew up about 3 or 4 blocks from that.
What was it before?
Ray Hayes' Cajun Poor Boy.
I have never heard that.
Yeah, and I mean, Ray was like one of the original guys. He's since passed away, but it was before it became really a big deal. But, you know, that was like, it was like a little strip center not too far from Ambassador Chinese restaurant.
Oh, I love Ambassador.
Oh, yeah, it's awesome.
I get the orange peel beef there. I love that place. That is probably the most underrated Chinese in town.
Absolutely.
And it's not China Garden, because I brag on China Garden, so everybody knows China Garden's great. But Ambassador... You got that butcher pool supply there. I'll tell you another one that's good is Floyd's Cajun. That's good. I was out in Mount Bellevue yesterday afternoon, and that place was packed.
Allied Outdoor Solutions has been a show sponsor of ours in our Houston flagship market for almost 20 years now. And it's been fun because they've gone from just a handful of folks to growing and growing and growing, doing beautiful backyard solutions to make your backyard, your front yard, your side yard, your front driveway look like a resort. And over the years, they've added Austin, San Antonio, Dallas. And what the work they do, you can see it for yourself at AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com or have them come do it for you. 844-846-1010. 844-846-1010.